Welcome to The Clever Cookster, your ultimate window into the kitchens of the world's best cooks. I'm your host, Kara Rota. Our guest today is Brooke Kaysen, who's had many jobs in the culinary industry. I asked her here today to talk a little bit about her career and the ways that she thinks about food in her daily life. So, Brooke, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Every week on this show, I tell you about a cookbook that's making big waves in the food world. Good cookbooks matter because they bring families close and create great memories. So I want to tell you about another podcast that explores how books change lives called But That's Another Story. It's hosted by Will Schwalbe, who was a guest on this show back in April. You might also know him as the founder of the recipe website Cookster.com. In each episode, Will talks to an influential guest about the book that changed their life. The guests share personal stories that connect their favorite books to events in their lives in ways you wouldn't expect. It's emotional, inspirational, and really moving. And every week, you'll come away with new books to add to your reading list. You can find But That's Another Story wherever you listen to podcasts. Just search for But That's Another Story. We first met at the Cherry Bomb Jubilee, so I knew that you were interested in food, but tell us a little bit about kind of how you got there and what you're doing now.
That is a long story that I can definitely shorten for you. I started out as an engineering student because I was good at math, and I figured that would be a good way to make a living, but I realized quickly after that that that's not always the case, that just because you're good at math, it's a good idea to be an engineer. So I decided to go to culinary school, and then with a blessing from my father, who was also an engineer. And I would like to say the rest is history, but I feel like I'm just getting started.
So you've had a couple of trail jobs in restaurants. Can you tell our audience kind of what that means and what that entails?
Absolutely. So a trail is sort of like the culinary world's version of a job interview. It's the longest job interview you'll ever go on. It's pretty much for an entire shift. So imagine going into a job interview where you're there for 8 hours. You work there the whole day. You meet everybody that you would be working with if you did get the job. And you're kind of just, it's a weird place to be in because you don't really know anything. You don't know the kitchen very well. You don't know really anything that's going on. So you're kind of extra dependent on all of these people who you've never met before to sort of guide you through your job interview. And it's a very vulnerable place to be, but I think it teaches you a lot about yourself and about the place where you would potentially be working.
Obviously, every kitchen is different, but what are some of the things that you think people should think about when they're deciding whether they might want a job in a culinary career?
That's tough because I think it varies from person to person. A lot of it depends on what you're looking for. And for me, I was looking for the experience. I was looking to see that I could do it because I heard that it was so difficult and that, you know, not a lot of people make it and you have to really love it. And that, I think that's true, but I think that also when you go on a trail, you should look for, do you like the size of the restaurant? Do you like the people that are there? Do they work with each other? Are they mean to each other? Are they nice to each other? How do they treat you when you're there? Do they feed you? And there's a lot of factors, but I think the one that I've always heard from other people in the profession is that the most important thing is that you like the food. I do agree that's very important, but I don't think that's the most important thing. I think a lot of the restaurants that I've worked in that have become my favorite have been because of the people that I'm working with, not necessarily because of the food they're making. So I think people, that's the biggest thing to look out for if you do go on a trip.
You also write about food. Can you talk about kind of some of the different challenges when you're in the kitchen doing the hands-on work of sort of figuring out how you're going to get everything on the plate for someone versus when you're trying to describe things about the food world or your love of food through writing?
The two are so different just in pace. When you're in the moment and you're plating or you're cooking or you're in the middle of service and you're just trying to get the food out, you're not really thinking. You're kind of just going all on muscle memory. And when I sit down and write, it's really, for me, an opportunity to kind of reflect on the things that I made or the things that I've gone out and tasted that other people have made. And it gets me to slow down and really, really understand what it is that I ate. And I think in the moment when I'm cooking or when I'm eating, it's harder to pull yourself out, especially if it's really good. You kind of get lost in it, but when I get to sit down and think about it later, I think the most memorable meals are the ones that I can describe best. And to me, that's always really, what is the word I'm looking for? That's always really exciting, I guess, when I can sit down and remember everything about a meal that happened like a year ago or, you know, a long enough time to where you shouldn't be able to remember it. But if I can like sit there and remember that experience and pull all those words that I think describe it best, then that's a very... It's a very transcending moment to be able to connect back to a previous experience you've had like that.
Are you looking for an easy way to batch cook healthy food at home? Joule Sous Vide is the tool for you. Joule heats food to the exact right temperature and holds it there, so it's hot and ready to serve whenever you are ready to eat. There's no guesswork, so food is never under or overcooked. To get yours, visit chefsteps.com/Joule and use the code CLEVER, all lowercase, to get $15 off for a limited time. That's chefsteps.com/Joule, code CLEVER. The code is case sensitive, so be sure to type lowercase CLEVER. Joule, perfect food every time. And now, back to our podcast. Can you share one of your most memorable food experiences?
Oh, that's a rough one. Okay. I think my most memorable experiences are always with my firsts. Like, the things that you don't eat growing up or the things that you've always heard about and you just never thought you'd get to try and that sort of thing. And I think my most memorable first is when I got to try two things that I never tried. In the same dish, it was a dish called quail and snails at a restaurant called Beast in Tucson, Arizona. It sounds like quite the food desert and a literal desert, but Tucson has some gems. And one of them being this restaurant called Beast, and they have an ever-changing menu. And this one particular time that I went, they had a dish called quail and snails. And I was like, I've never tried either of those things. And they're all in the same plate, so there's no time like the present. And it was delicious. And it came with this wild rice, and they did it really, really right. And I think that was a good first experience for two foods that some people might find off-putting.
Are you generally a pretty adventurous eater? Are you always eager to try something new for the first time?
I am. Sometimes that gets me a little bit of trouble. Like recently, I took a trip to Mexico with my sister, and we did this whole excursion where at the end they give you a quote-unquote traditional Mayan lunch. So I'm thinking, oh, this is going to be great. I get to try some new things, prepare different ways that I've never seen before. And a lot of it was food that I had seen before, but I was still, you know, high on the vacation excitement. So I tried some beans that probably I should not have tried, and I ended up getting kind of sick from them. But other than that, I think my adventurous nature for eating hasn't really done me wrong.
What do you say to friends who are pickier or little kids who don't want to try something? Do you have sort of some tricks for getting people excited about new foods?
I do. And it's funny that you add six. I have, and I even correct myself sometimes whenever I hear somebody say, oh, I don't like X, Y, and Z, or I don't like beans, or I don't like, you know, I don't like waffles, or whatever the case may be. I always say, maybe you just haven't had it in a way that you like it yet. Like, maybe you just haven't had it prepared in a way that's appealing to you yet. And I realized that about myself because I swore I hated lima beans for the longest time. And culinary school prepared them in a way that I was like, oh, well, you know, this isn't half bad. This is actually really, really good. So it's taught me a lot. And I've had to, like, grow up and realize that not everything is going to be presented to me in a way that I think I would like it.
If you could open a restaurant tomorrow, and I know this is always a tough question, but what would your vision be? What kind of food do you want to share with people, and what kind of ambiance do you like when you walk into a place?
My biggest thing for going out to eat is enjoying the people that you're out with. So aside from the food, which, really quick, I think the food for me would be just different variations of my favorite dishes that I've run into, you know, throughout my life. And I don't think they would be necessarily joined together in any way, which might be a problem, but that's what I would want to serve. And I think as far as the environment or the ambiance, my family has a rule that whenever we go out to eat, all of the phones go in the middle of the table, and whoever touches their phone has to pay for the entire meal. So needless to say, nobody touches their phone until the very end, but I think that's definitely something that I would want to try to make as much of a rule as possible if I were to open a restaurant. I don't know how I'd really enforce that, but I would like to try to encourage that atmosphere of really talking to the people that you've chosen to dine with.
What advice would you give to young people who are thinking about being chefs, thinking about getting into the culinary industry? What advice do you give people when they're not sure or kind of don't know how to get started?
I would say start. That's really all you can do. For me, I started with a part-time job, and if you're afraid of just taking the leap and going to culinary school or going in full-time, do what I did. I'm kind of scary about everything, and I'm terrified of finite decisions, so I kept my full-time job, and I worked part-time in the kitchen for about a year and a half, and that let me know that this is where I'm supposed to be. This is something that I could pivot to full-time, and then I did. But I think that peace of mind that came from giving myself those experiences and knowing that it was something that I was capable of doing, that definitely helped influence my decision.
Brooke, thank you so much for talking with us today. It's so fun to hear about your journey and all of your insights.
Thank you so much for having me. It was fun. I love getting to share it, so that's great.
Tune in next time on The Clever Cookster for more tips and tricks from the kitchens of the world's best cooks.